Well, if you turn with me to Proverbs.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, Kevin.
It was me.
Oh.
So, I don't know how this happened, but I'm going to go ahead and teach.
Oh, you're going to teach?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm going
okay.
to teach based on my preparation so far.
Oh, okay.
It'll be a good test.
All right. That was good. I'm willing to do it.
No, that's fine. I was looking at. I've always joked. I said, whenever there's a person who is the pulpit or up here is empty, there's always this panic. Was it me that was supposed to teach? And this morning was one of those things. Yeah, it was. And for some reason, I don't know why, I was thinking it was next week. And I was looking at my schedule and what I was looking to do next week. I was thinking, well, that's going to interfere with this. And I have no idea how that happened. But for some reason, I saw my name on the 18th of August and don't know what happened. But anyway, I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'm just going to see how this goes. I'm sitting here. I'm not going to sit back there and let Dean up there teach while I'm sitting back there feeling guilty for not having this prepared. I can't stand it, so I'm just going to come up and teach and see what happens. But I do have some stuff prepared so far, so you're going to see it's going to just come out of the oven a little bit early this morning. Dean has prayed for us, so I'm going to go ahead and just get started. The name today is Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord is my shepherd. So that is in beginning in Psalm 23 is probably the most common place we would expect to find that. That's Psalm 23, verse 1, and that is, the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, that is the name Rohi there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, shepherding was something that was very common among the Israelites. It was something that began from really day one. If we go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we see, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So really from day one, the idea of shepherds was very much a part of the system of Israel and the system of the agrarian culture. And there was also sheep then are considered to go through the whole part of the Old Testament. Sheep are mentioned quite frequently, just as a matter of the general, as a general measure of wealth and of livelihood. So then we also have the idea of sheep mentioned frequently, that we as people need a shepherd. We are sheep because we are directionless at times, and we need sheep, or we need a shepherd because we have a need to have that for us. We need that direction in our lives. So sheep, as well as we being compared to sheep, is a very common concept in the Old Testament. And then, of course, we needing that direction as well. So if we want to go to back to Psalm 23, that's where we see that unfolding. And so let's look at Psalm 23, a very well-known passage that is oftentimes read at funerals and even among the unsaved. Psalm 23 is very well-known. And I want to read through that chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With this psalm, we see the need here for leadership. And it says here that he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside the quiet waters. You know, oftentimes one of the things I heard that Dean had mentioned in the teaching a couple of weeks ago, in the teacher lesson on Saturday, was about using illustrations from everyday life to illustrate a point. And many of you know, Patty and I have went to Glacier Park for several years now. We do a lot of hiking. And I see so many illustrations about life through these paths that we walk on. Because a lot of these paths are very, in Glacier Park, are not protected. They're very rough, and they're very adventuresome, and sometimes there can be very dangerous. In fact, I just read the other day that 5 to 7 people die in Glacier Park every day, not from bear attacks, but from falls, from drowning, and from overexertion. Probably because of people like Patty and I who think we can walk further than we can and do things that we shouldn't do. But anyway, one of the things that I found along these paths that is so incredible is that you'll be walking along and you're tired and you'll run across a stream. And there's something about that stream that's just very refreshing. It's very encouraging to see as you hear and see the water running over. And then it's also nice when you're walking along a stream. That's even better. And then when you'll see a green pasture, we've seen several green pastures or green meadows. There's something about that that's extremely reinvigorating. So he leads me beside the green pastures and he leads me beside the quiet waters. And he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So again, here is this idea of leadership and of restoration as we go on. And then even walking through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So here again, the idea is of protection from predators. And then preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies, anointing my head with oil. Oftentimes when the sheep would get cut or whatever, the shepherd would have oil that they would anoint with them in order to cover them with that. And then also, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, one of the things about Psalm 23 we look at, we think, oh, that's nice. And oftentimes the unbeliever will look at that and they will say, well, that applies to me. But of course, the problem is it doesn't apply to the unbeliever. In fact, before Psalm 23 can be applied, we have to look at Psalm 22. And what is Psalm 22 about? Psalm 22 is about the death of Christ. And in order for us to be able to enjoy the benefits of having a shepherd that leads us and guides us and protects us, we first have to go to the Lamb of God who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Chapter 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and you have no rest. Of course, my God, why have you forsaken me, is what Christ cried on the cross when he died. And so and then verse 16 says, for dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So again, this is somewhat of a messianic psalm that talks about Christ. Then also we have, if we look at Isaiah 53, the idea there is that in order for us to be able to enjoy the benefits of the Lord as our shepherd, we must confess our sin. There's sin involved here. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth." So here we have the idea that we as sheep, we go astray. And that is really the ultimate. And we have this great picture of the shepherd being, of Christ or the Lord being our shepherd, and we are like these lovely little lambs that just, you know, go along that go along and follow the shepherd. But the problem is, as sinners, we don't follow the shepherd. As sinners, we go on our own way. And that's exactly what it's talking about here in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. So that's the problem. As sheep, we have to be willing to follow the shepherd. Those are some of the ideas in the Old Testament of Jehovah being our shepherd. But that also carries over into the New Testament. If we look at John chapter 10, this is a very classic chapter about of Jehovah being our shepherd, of Christ being our shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up into some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." In Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a very personal pronoun there. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And here we have in John chapter 10 where it says that there is a relationship here where it says a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And so the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And here there's a picture then of the intimate relationship that the sheep have with their shepherd. And so that is a picture here of the intimate relationship that we have with Christ, and that we know his voice, and that we will flee from those who we do not know. Oftentimes we have the voices that try to call us away, but the believer knows the voice of our shepherd. The believer knows what is going on with the shepherd. So they do not follow strangers. And it says, "This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what things which were before him, which he had been saying to them. And then Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and who came in before me and thieves and robbers are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.'" And if we skip down to verse 11, we see Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Okay, so that's the idea there from Isaiah chapter 53 as well. And then if we look down to verse 25 in John chapter 10, we see Jesus answered them saying, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." So there, Jesus is talking on the opposite end, that those who do not know Christ do not recognize the Father's voice because they are not his sheep. And then verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So here we have this incredible, picture of intimacy and following and understanding and knowing each other. And of course, with sheep, one of the things that we understand sheep have a tendency to do is kind of wander off and they can get lost. But here it says, none will be able to snatch them out of my hand. And so my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So here again we have this picture of intimacy and of not being able to lose. And of course this is a verse that we oftentimes use with to support eternal security, and that is that those who follow him will never be lost. Now we have this picture of the shepherd, of Christ being our shepherd, we also have a picture in First Peter of under shepherds. If we go to First Peter, that's in Hebrews. In First Peter, it's talking about the Christ again being our shepherd. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. And that goes back to Isaiah 53:7 that we read earlier. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian, or King James says, bishop of your souls. So here we have this idea here again of Christ, of Christ being the shepherd, as it talks about back in Isaiah chapter 53. And then we have in Hebrews chapter 13, okay, Hebrews chapter 13 says in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And I'm thinking of another verse here, and I think it's in Hebrews chapter 13 where it's talking about that we are under shepherds. Verse 20, thank you. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Now it's interesting that that one of the things that it was talking about in the book, our textbook that we were looking at for the names of God, is that it was talking about the good shepherd and the great shepherd. The good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep, and the great shepherd is the one who lays down his life or who is raised from the dead, that great shepherd. Now then, if we turn to Revelation, we also have, thank you, by the way, for that help on that. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And that comes back to 1 Corinthians, that he was the first fruits of those who would raise from the dead. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made him to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn for him. And he said, Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. And then if we turn over to Revelation chapter 4. Says verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, says, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, to the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before him, saying, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of you, because of your will, they existed and were created. And so then then we have the idea of, it's talking about in verse 5, verse 8, it says, and he who had taken the book, the four living creatures, and the living creatures fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls of full incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God your blood for men, every tribe and every tongue and every people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God. So this is the idea here, that he was worthy to open the seals. So here we have then Jehovah Rohi. These are just some illustrations of the ability of God, or the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, and he is the one that guides us. And the question is, as our shepherd, do we follow him? Do we follow him, or do we follow ourselves as Jehovah Rohi? And looking back at Psalm 23, it was interesting. I can't remember all of the names that in this chapter that our author gave us. But it was interesting as he pointed out the fact that there's really different names of God in this psalm besides the shepherd. One of them being, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Of course, that is our voice. But then the idea is that he restores my soul and he guides me to paths of righteousness, that being Jehovah Rapha, which I looked at a few weeks ago, that he heals and he restores, and that he puts me restores me before the table of my enemies. He provides, Jehovah Jireh, and he looks at that. And then, of course, we have the whole idea of guidance there as well. Okay, well, that is all that I can remember from my notes. So that was Jehovah Rohi. And so that was sort of coming out of the oven a little bit early. I apologize for that. But anyway, why don't we go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the fact that you are our shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rohi. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to look to you for guidance. We pray, for Father, that you would help us to look to you for our sustenance and our provision. And we pray, Lord, that you would just give to us your grace. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.